Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Liz Robbins, and I am joined by my husband, Pastor Roger Robbins, in the studio.
Yes. Today
we will be talking about evangelism, which will be the topic for the whole week. And Roger and I will be kicking it off with just the basics of why do we evangelize? And we'll be going through some questions and hopefully having a good discussion.
Yes. And I think for us here in our church and in our church culture, in our life, like this is a subject we like delight in and joy have so much joy in. And how is that possible? Like, you know, I have to admit growing up, I was a church kid and
you have to admit that.
admit that when my dad took me on outreach every once in a while, I was not happy.
Yeah.
I was rolling my eyes.
Same.
I was counting the clock, trying to find ways to get out of it. What's the point? What's the meaning of all of this coming down here to these streets I don't know and knocking on doors? And like we were saying earlier, like the idea of talking to a stranger.
Yeah, I would say I had also church kid, but also missionary kid. So I was on the streets of Budapest with my dad, and I wasn't so much rolling my eyes as I was just terrified.
Yeah.
Like that was more my experience was that I was exactly terrified at the idea of presenting something that could be offensive, that could be not well received to somebody that I don't know.
Yes.
Or God forbid, somebody I do know, like a relative or a fellow friend or coworker, also just strikes fear in the heart. I think I'm probably not alone in that.
Sure.
Before we start, I wanted to say happy first day of school to anybody who sent their kids to school today. Our three kids, we dropped them off this morning. And
we did it.
There was some drama, but we did it. And that's a story for another day because it's not about evangelism.
Nope, but it's not.
Happy first day of school to anybody who also got their kids and all their school supplies out the door and on time and by the grace of God, healthy. So, I think let's just start with why is it important?
Yeah.
To evangelize, to soul win.
And what is evangelism, right? So the importance starts with its meaning, and the meaning of evangelism, like the word really isn't found in the Bible, but evangelist is.
Mm-hmm.
And the root word of it, if you look at it, it's pretty beautiful. If you look at the word in English, you have the EV, and then you have the angel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Evangelist or ism or evangelize, right? So when you look at the first word in the Greek language, you have this beautiful meaning of the word, what is good, what is well, what is pure, what is God, right? And then you have the second part, which is angel or angelo, which means like messenger.
Mm-hmm.
So you put the two together, you have a good messenger. We know clearly like angels were those messengers of God, Old Testament and New. And then, you know, as we talked about last week, as a Christian, it's so cool to think in the process of evangelism, angels, God's creatures, were his method and way of communicating the good news, right? We see in the birth of Christ. But then, lo and behold, the heart of man transformed new with the Holy Spirit. Now we have a man, a woman, a child of God, can be and can evangelize, be that messenger.
Yeah.
So the meaning really takes shape with the right spirit, right?
Yeah.
So I was just thinking like evangelism, is so closely connected to the right spirit. And that's something that we often meditate on. And that's the thing that gives this life. Evangelism gets life from the spirit.
Yeah.
So it's generated from the new man, from the new birth.
Yes.
And is, like we were saying earlier, our young childhood life, our self-consciousness, our fear, our anxiety, was not part of that evangelist. It was not part of that spirit, the Holy Spirit. And so, before we maybe go into the importance of it, the meaning of it starts so simply with being spiritually minded.
Yeah.
And having the right spirit. We know for sure we could force it, like anything in life.
Yeah.
We could fake it, or maybe we just go through the motions. Like, we check off the boxes and do it. Mm-hmm. Some begrudgingly, or some, you know, happily, you know, go along with the flow.
Yeah.
But what is the real down, like the very basic elements and meaning of evangelism, or to evangelize?
Yeah.
It's the spirit. It's that spirit of God born and coming out of man.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a good point, because just like we talked about last week, and if you're tuning in and you don't know what we're talking about, last week was all about just what does it mean to be a Christian? We did the show on Monday last week, and I really enjoyed it because it got to the very heart of what it is to be a follower of Christ. And I think that evangelism is like right there. It is like the immediate, beautiful, natural fruit of being a follower of Christ. Like we were talking earlier about, the fact that naturally we don't necessarily want to get out there, and it does feel like putting yourself out there. And, you know, when you talk about, for example, dating, people are like, you got to put yourself out there. Okay. So if evangelism is putting yourself out there, I would disagree with that, because what has helped me, at least when thinking about evangelism and that fear or self-consciousness, is that you're not putting yourself out there, right? You're presenting Christ. And it's a constant reminder that is a comfort to me to remember that even in rejection, which is like the ultimate fear. We were talking about like new believer.
We got some good stories, but we can't share them.
You know, sharing his faith for the first time, and he just got rejected. Like the person just turned and walked away.
Yeah,
and he was like devastated. Mm-hmm. And that I think is a deep fear that we all have, just as human beings who desire to be welcomed and accepted by the people in our community. That rejection can be like a really big reason why we wouldn't do it. And at least for me, and I'm sure I'm not alone again in that. And one of the things that helps me is to remind myself that, first of all, what I'm presenting is not myself. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying, here, accept me and who I am and what I have to offer. But I'm presenting the gospel. I'm giving them an opportunity to know their own Savior.
Right.
And if they reject me, they're actually not rejecting me.
Right.
They are rejecting the gospel. They're rejecting the good news. And it really has nothing to do with me. Mm. So it's a humbling that needs to happen, where I'm like, I need to kind of get out of my own way, that this isn't about me. It's about giving a person the opportunity to know their Savior. And,
right. And
so
you
it's
mentioned
humbling,
that, right?
But it's also very freeing.
Yeah. You mentioned that 1 Samuel 8, remember?
Yes.
Samuel was like so distraught and like so sad that he's leading his people.
Yeah,
he's leading the lost.
Yeah, the people rejected his words of wisdom.
And the Lord reminds him, don't worry, they didn't reject you, they rejected me.
Yes.
That's a great verse for someone starting off in evangelism.
Yep.
Like, if you are rejected, or if finding it hard to evangelize,
yeah,
like, remember, you are doing the work of God. The Holy Spirit has called you and motivated you with his love, the love of Christ, constrained. Yeah. And now here you are, maybe rejected, but remember, it's not you they've rejected, but it's It's yeah. Him, it's the Lord.
And Jesus says the same thing, right, in Matthew, when he, you mentioned it, when he sends out the 12, mm-hmm. and I think it's mentioned more than once, but when he sends out the disciples, one of the things he says is, if you're rejected, meaning expect to be rejected, but mm-hmm. if you're rejected, shake the dust off your feet and go to the next yes. house in the yes. next town.
Yes.
And that also is comforting to me in the sense that my identity, who I am, all of those things are not in play when I'm just offering the gospel to somebody. Right. If they reject me, it doesn't actually need to destroy me and, you know, ruin my day, for example, throw me off, make me say, oh, I'm never doing this again. But really, even in the rejection, there's value, right? Because mm-hmm. we were saying, like, there's so much value.
Right.
Because consider that person who had the opportunity to share because you got out yeah. of your own way.
Yes.
Right? And you are willing to be not self-conscious mm-hmm. and not so worried that you would be willing to even risk rejection for their sake.
Yeah. So I remember just a short story of rejection. Just this summer, we were in Latvia, mm-hmm. and we just came out of a meeting, and we had grabbed a quick bite, and we're like, let's go to the park. I want to say I had a new person with me. I was like, you just come with me, and mm-hmm. let's do this. Go right in the park. First person I saw in the park, I gave them a track and told them, you know, God loves you. And she just grabbed the track and turned around and looked at me and says, we are pagans.
No
we
way.
Don't need your God. And
pagans?
Yeah, we want pagans.
You don't hear
pagans.
That word every day.
We want paganism. We're pagans.
Wow.
We are pagan people. And
yeah.
we don't want this. And just threw it on the ground.
Whoa.
And it was just like, okay, here we go. Let's keep going. Like, let's go, you know. And we talked about it as we walked and we mm-hmm. prayed for her
yeah.
and thought about that moment of rejection. But really, like, there was so much love between us
yeah.
and with us that, and it's so great that that's how it goes. So let's think about this verse, Romans 8, verse 5. It says here, it says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So evangelism is of a different spirit, right? Like, we weren't doing this before salvation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were not thinking of others. We were not laying down our lives.
Yeah.
We were not going out of our way.
Mm-hmm.
The transformation took place, right? Through the work of grace, regenerating us, bringing us into a whole new life. And suddenly, like little children, we have this great desire to share. And so with the right mind, the mind of Christ,
yeah.
the mind of Christ is doing some pretty radical things, some pretty like extraordinary or not so normal to your personality or character.
Mm.
And we find ourselves in that position so much of the time. I mean, for speaking to new believers, as they're learning and growing, and then for even those who have maybe not experienced or been stepping out into the life and the ways of evangelism, the methods of it, there might be a burning in your heart, and it's the Holy Spirit asking mm-hmm. you and telling you, I'm giving you my mind. Would you operate in that? Now, the importance of evangelism, let's like maybe now move into that, because we kind of nailed down, I think,
yeah.
to some degree, like,
because
we're
is.
Just laying a couple of the stones to the path
yeah.
for the week.
Yeah.
And I mean, we have to go to Matthew 28, and we see that Jesus gives us the Great Commission,
yeah.
okay, above and beyond all that. We see that encapsulates the gospel message
mm-hmm.
is there are two active verbs, go and make.
Yeah.
Go and make. And they are the lifeblood, and they are the actual elements of evangelism. And evangelism, okay, when we think about it, maybe we think words, right? Like mm-hmm. I was talking to someone yesterday who is like been a soul winner all his life. And I asked him some of these questions, like, hey, what do you think about this? Mm. And he was like, Great Commission. And I was like, yeah, like absolutely. And he goes, you know why? Because that's how I found the Lord. Someone went and someone evangelized me.
Yeah.
And someone helped me in my discipleship of Christ to be like Christ. And I'm so thankful. And he made me or helped me, molded me into that way where I found Christ. I saw because yeah. another brother went out on the streets, and it wasn't even from our church. Mm-hmm. It was from another church.
Yeah.
But a church that was believing in that method, or we would say motivated and activated by the Great Commission,
yeah.
proclamation, and because of it, he was following suit, you know? Yeah. And actually, I know his family, his kids do it, and now their grandchildren, his kids are also going on evangelism with them. And I've been with some of them actually in Texas last year. Wow. It was so cool. So you can see that the Great Commission is what is bearing the fruit and bearing the outworkings of why this is so important. Mm-hmm. And then I would say this. Okay, so let's think about this. So evangelism is, we were saying like words, right? Like, okay, let's think about this. Words, like how yeah. we can convey a message, right? Through articulation,
yeah.
through words. We have the Bible, which are words, right? But when we look at the life of Jesus, what was the other thing that really evangelized people? What really reached people wasn't just words, but it was also his actions,
mm-hmm.
his mannerisms,
yeah.
the places he went, you know, the moves he made in John 4, you know,
yeah, like, the way he like made people feel loved. Mm-hmm. That idea of sitting with the sinners, he went out of his way even like to make sure people felt seen and understood. While also saying incredibly challenging things, I think
right.
that's really important, don't you
so,
think?
So evangelism, in a way, we have words, number one, communicated displayed, articulated, like we said, but then like we have the actions. And I was thinking a short testimony of our life in Turkey. A lot of times living in a country like a Muslim country, mm-hmm. our desire is like burning within us to share the gospel with anyone who walks around.
Yeah.
However, the message can't be conveyed all the time through our words. It yeah. can privately. Maybe it can on a street corner, in a cafe, in a restaurant, yeah. in a
We generally don't use like tracts or literature, for example.
We can't really use tracts or literature. Yeah. And so how can we display this? Like, how can we show this?
Yeah.
And so the other form of evangelism would be our actions. And I think a lot of the times we were saying that when we went, it was the going that really was such a huge witness to the people around us, right?
Yeah.
So like the Great Commission, like if we just obey it, it will do the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you just kind of fall into it.
Yeah.
So you have your words, then you have your actions, and you have like this twofold approach.
Yeah.
On a daily basis mm-hmm. to like literally be reaching anyone by different means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think, when you think about this idea of, well, one of the questions asked here is, do we need to share our faith? Mm. Do we have to share our faith? And when I heard that question, I almost heard it like one of our kids, like, do I really need to brush my teeth every day? Like, I don't know if that's the heart, the intent of which the tone it was written in, but that's how I heard it. Like, do I really need to? Mm. And I think for some of us, it does feel like, okay, it's a duty, and I know I need to. I know the Great Commission, But our heart isn't there. Our heart isn't, like you said, on fire with this like flame and this desire. And I was thinking that oftentimes we need to like rekindle that, especially if you're a longtime believer. Maybe you're not a new believer, but you do sense perhaps that conviction that I need to be more open to sharing my faith. I need to be ready. I need to have a heart that's open to the possibility. I need to have eyes to see the people around me. These are the prayers that I have learned to pray when I ask the Lord to make me a soul winner. It's not a done, you know, okay, you're good, you're a soul winner now. But it is like a daily thing where oftentimes our heart can grow cold. And this question of do I have to is a good question to ask. And I thought about it this way, because it does hit home for me that soul winning doesn't necessarily come natural to me. And I'm married to somebody who I feel like maybe it's your personality, or maybe it is just your maturity and the habits that you have formed and the spiritual habits that you have formed. But you are always, well, it just seems like you're always
cranky,
like ready. Okay. Well,
grumpy.
That's what I think a lot of us, like we know, we probably know a few people in our lives, or at least in our church, or maybe a pastor or a missionary that we know. And we go, oh, they can soul win.
Like, right. Let's leave it up to them.
Like this guy has got it and he seems to enjoy it. Whereas I'm over here like, you know,
sweating.
I'll like give them a piece of paper and like run. Mm-hmm. God forbid they want to talk to me.
That's, ask a question.
I remember being in Bible school, going on outreach on a Saturday morning, and I was the like the person behind the person. Mm-hmm. Like there's like the person, you
like
know,
you go
sharing,
to the door, I'm behind.
And I'm
I'll
like,
pray
I'm
for
here.
You.
I'm yeah, I'm supporting. But and every once in a while we used to go together and you used to just throw me in. Like because
yes.
You were like, you're not just gonna let me stand there.
You can't
and
just
I
be a bench warmer.
I remember every time being like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I recognized that that was absolutely not the Spirit of God speaking in me. Mm-hmm. Like that was the part of me that selfish, insecure part of me that I did not want to surrender to. And I think it really helps to be able to just frame it correctly. So here's what in my mind, I think about it this way, like, okay, do we have to soul win? And the answer is no. You could be a Christian who,
yeah,
never shares your faith. That is possible. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, here's the other thing. Even though you don't have to soul win, it's similar to like how you don't have to forgive somebody who's wronged you.
Mm.
But if you are a follower of Christ and you have like surrendered your life, you have, like
put
we
your
said,
trust in
like
him.
We said last week about what it needs to be a Christian, that you are dead. But now you live, but not you who lives, but Christ who lives in you. If that is true, then your heart is to forgive because you have been forgiven. And your heart is to share because you have been set free.
Mm.
And your heart, like you said, is on fire. And I thought about the woman at the well in John 4, who is perhaps my favorite encounter of Christ with a person. Is this woman, the Samaritan woman, because what she does is so beautiful. And it, again, it's not about her, but it's that Jesus approaches her when nobody else would. He had no business speaking to her to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
He calls out her life situation. So he sees what he shouldn't have seen, probably shameful, probably a lot of pain, perhaps abuse that went into the fact that she had five husbands, all of that. And she comes away from it and goes into the town and says, come see the man who told me everything I ever did. Mm. Could this be the Christ?
Mm.
And a lot of people, you know, say that she's one of the first evangelists because she went into her whole town and then they went and met Jesus and so many in her town believed.
Yes.
And it was
she
because
she became an evangelist.
Yeah.
Right?
Like in a moment.
So cool.
She was like, this man, could he be the Christ?
Yes.
He knew me.
Right.
And she didn't have shame because he knew her sin. She was set free.
Wow.
And probably became
loved,
very influential
accepted.
In her town.
Right.
Like
being
it's
the,
incredible.
The lowest, like we heard, you know, in this story, like where like the publicans and sinners are the ones Jesus is hanging out with. I have another little testimony that just came to my mind. In Latvia, just briefly, because I think it's good to share some stories too. You know, you just go by faith and we don't know. It's a small country. I went there this summer with Pastor Risto, and on our last day of outreach, we had Bible school every morning. And then on Saturday, we were going to go to like a beach on the Baltics. Mm-hmm. But before, the Lithuanian group and the other people that were with us, they still wanted another meeting. So we did another meeting, and somehow a man just comes walking into the building, and the man is like, looks like he comes right off the street, and he did. Mm. But our group from Lithuania met them on evangelism the day before, met that man and invited him to come. He said, we're going to come and be here Saturday morning. Come be with us and then come with us to the beach.
He was like a homeless man.
He was a homeless man. Yes. So, and he spoke Russian, which a lot of the Lithuanians still did. And that was a really great tool. So they shared the love of Christ with him, invited him, didn't care about who he was, what he smelled like, where he was last night, didn't even ask all those questions. We got him a cup of coffee. We sat him down. It was such a surprise he came. It was such a rejoicing moment, actually. Mm. Then two other guys show up and we're like, well, who are these guys? And like, how do you even get to this building? And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. When you evangelized me yesterday, I called my friends and I said, you need to come here. You need to come and be a part of whatever they're sharing, wow, what they're doing. They invited me. Let's go. So I invited my two friends. So one of the friends, and not to share too much in the information, but
yeah,
one of the friends that came was a lost son that was from a family member in the Klaipeda church, in the Lithuanian church. And when that man showed up,
crazy,
the group from Lithuania, one of them recognized the man.
Wow.
And he had been in the church some years ago. And then he had been lost for a long time on the streets. Far, far away. In a different country. Wow. And somehow, by one track, inviting one man from the streets, he calls his friends, and one of his friends is this lost son.
Yeah.
And he spent the rest of the day and the next day with us, and they all got back in touch with the family again. Mm-hmm. They were praying for this lost son, this brother.
Wow.
And so you never know. Right? Yeah. Like, isn't that like the truth of it?
And you got to witness that because you went.
Yeah, we were just on the sidelines. Yeah. Like, and I think that's the other blessing in evangelism is like, maybe you're not at the tip of the spear.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the going and the making, mm-hmm, like directly in this country or that. But like wherever you are, and I would encourage the listeners, if you don't have that type of church, find one, find a church that has that vision for the lost, right? Like Pastor Stevens' last words, the founding pastor of this church, his last words were souls, souls, and souls. We all remember it.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, so this importance is like vital and a lifeblood, right?
Yeah.
And I think another thing that I think we've discovered, and for anyone, we speak to anyone who's had time in evangelism, developing it, living in it, like maybe you've done a small trip or you've become part of an outreach here locally or wherever your church is.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that you taste, one of the beautiful benefits and the fruit of this is not only seeing it, but I think this element of evangelism is actually saving yourself.
Yeah.
Pastor Stevens, the founding pastor, one Saturday morning when I was in Bible school, I came to the outreach, not really thinking much about it, but just sitting and preparing my heart. And he shared and he talked about, he's like, you know what you guys did? One of the greatest things you've ever done. And we were like, we haven't even gone soul winning yet. Like, we're not even like out there yet. He's like, you've already done it. And he goes, you know what it is? You saved your own soul.
Yeah.
Not like eternally. We know that we are eternally saved. We have eternal salvation and redemption through the blood of Christ. But saving yourself from yourself, right? Taking the step of faith and putting aside yourself in the interest of yourself for someone else,
it's huge.
Is saving yourself, right? So like, maybe I don't lead someone to the Lord today. Maybe I am not hearing this miraculous story that you just heard. Maybe you haven't experienced it yet.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, the fact of the matter is that we're saving ourselves. And in that practice, there is a great anointing. There is power and authority.
Yeah.
Because the selfless life, or the life of Christ, has that nature and that quality. And it's like, it's so
freedom.
Yeah,
I was just going to say freedom, right? Like, I think that that's what I was always jealous of when I saw people who had just confidence and were relaxed in sharing their faith, was I could sense that they weren't self-conscious, and there's like, there was a freedom, they're relaxed. Wow. Somebody who I still to this day, I think is one of the most amazing men of God that I know and is still living, is Pastor David Moore.
Come on.
In Malta, New York.
Greater
Pastor
Grace,
David
Malta.
Moore is, and my dad would agree, who's also a great man of God.
Well,
love you, Dad.
Was led to the Lord by your Pastor Moore picking him up hitchhiking.
Pastor Moore has a way of living and breathing that is so relaxed.
So much fun.
So he's having a great time. The man has been through hardship. He has walked alongside people as they've lost loved ones. They have struggled through. I mean, he's not oblivious. You know what I mean? Like, he's not like happy because he's oblivious, which is, I think, a lot of people's goal in life. Mm. Just be happy, right? Just go find my happy place and my happy people and stay there until I can just die happy, hopefully. But he's living a life that's like totally laid down. The man is a servant.
And the whole church.
And he lives and breathes the love of God for himself
and anybody
who is remotely close to him. And it's so convicting. It is so convicting in the best way. It's like, I want to be like Pastor Moore when
it's
I
like,
grow
are
up.
Are we doing this right now? He's like, of course. Like,
wherever
why
we are.
We?
We've been skiing in the Austrian
there's
Alps.
There's nowhere else, no more important place to go.
I'm like, can I eat my apple strudel, please? And he's like, we're going to eat this apple strudel. We're going to enjoy it. And we're also going to tell this lady about Jesus.
And the people next to us.
Yes.
And so, by the way, when we go up the lift, why don't we tell everyone in the lift?
Yeah.
I remember when he first did that in a big lift, and I was just
shrieking.
Gosh. I was like, all these
like it's happening.
Austrians hearing the gospel. What's going to happen?
I know. And I think it's a good, like, let's think of this question, because it's a good one in the sense that it says, if God is sovereign, then why does he need our help to tell people about him? Mm-hmm. Like, why do we need to do this? And I think, again, that question, when I hear it, part of me is saying, why are we trying to get out of it? Because it's so clearly mandated.
Yeah.
So instead it's like, no, dude, it's not that we have to. It's like we get to.
Yes.
Like, and there's
the invitation.
We're free. Like, we are, our salvation is settled. We are free, and we are serving a good, good God. And we get to be a part of what he is doing. He has, in his omniscience, in his, omnipresence, in all the things that make him sovereign and God, he has deemed it correct and good that we, the church, the body of Christ, would be a part of what he is doing on the earth.
Yes.
And there is literally nothing better that we can do with our time.
Mm. Mm.
That's, I think, what you were talking about in Romans, like having our mind on eternal things. I think that's something I'm really thankful. My dad, I think, was always, as a missionary and a pastor, he was always so good at keeping the focus on the eternal. And it was one of the reasons why his heart was always soft towards people. And he was always, like we were saying, kind of open to who would need a word from God, who would need to be encouraged, who would need to be loved. And it's because the value of a soul, the eternal value of a soul, was at the heart of it. Mm. Like, there is nothing on the earth that has that eternal value. Nothing. Mm. Nothing that we do, nothing that we make is of more value than souls, which is why, of course, raising our children to know mm-hmm. their value and to know their Savior right. is important. It's like that good work. Like, what mm-hmm. are we spending our time? What gives us value?
Yeah.
Knowing Christ, being His, that's what gives us value. And then what is our purpose? And again, it comes from this eternal thing.
Yes.
Because everything else is, as we say in Turkish, geçici. It's passing.
Yeah.
It's passing. It's everything corrupting. Else is yeah. on its way out or on its...
Favorite word in Turkish language.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's corroding. It's fading away.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that heavenly mind, that thinking of things, having your mind set above, where, you know, on things above, not on things below, that practice for those who are beginning in evangelism mm-hmm. to those who have been doing it a long time or those who still are developing, what does it mean and how important is it in their life? We would say to you, God has invited you
yeah.
by not only saving you, mm. by not only indwelling in you, but He is actively looking to use you.
Yeah.
Like sign up, enlist, right? So the Holy Spirit, which I always like to think of Him as the great director of missions. He's the director, the general here on earth.
That sounds like a Pastor Shabelli
it does.
Quote right
it
there.
Does. It does. I probably stole it from him, so he'll forgive
that.
Me and be like, yeah, keep saying it. So, you know, like He is the director. He's the general.
Yeah.
He's the 4-star general in missions, right? So we possess that 4-star general, right? Like, think of it that way. Like, really, like, we have someone right. who is so
yes.
rah-rah, like, excited, in love
yeah.
with other people. And He's willing that no one would perish, but that all would come to eternal life, to knowing the Son, right? So there is an invitation to us all, you know, right? Mm. An opportunity or a... living in every moment, Isaiah 27:3, living by moments. You know, the practice of evangelism, if you were to practice it, like when we practice reading the Bible, right?
Yeah.
Like our devotional in the morning, having a time to receive something and have something, it's like a snowball effect, right? Like you give a little, the hunger grows.
Yeah.
You get a little more, the hunger grows more, and the capacity grows with it too.
Mm-hmm.
Same with evangelism. When I have a heavy diet of the Word of God,
right.
of my worship, of my my time with the Lord, there is an overflow that is ready to take place.
Yeah.
And no matter what your extroverted, introverted characteristics are,
mm-hmm.
What your experience was like in high school, or maybe there was certain things that you failed in or didn't do so well in college.
Mm-hmm.
Know that, like Jesus said, don't worry about what you'll say. The Spirit
right.
will put it in your mouth, right?
Right? Yeah.
So we have a commandment, and here's the other commandment, I think, just to maybe go backwards just a little bit and go into importance.
Mm-hmm.
Importance is, and I think this is good for us. It's in Matthew chapter 10. It says, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who's in heaven. Okay. That's part one.
Yeah.
This is Matthew 10:32. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who mm-hmm. is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father who is in heaven.
Strong words.
To acknowledge God in front yeah. of men.
Yeah.
Like heaven rejoices, right? Like everyone's rejoicing. To deny Him before men, like to
yeah.
not deny Christ before men. Like in some ways... I mean, not in some ways. I remember early on, like, swallowing my breath and just being, like, not saying what I should have said.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I could,
yeah,
not
like you knew.
In the condemnation sense or, like, hey, you're going to lose your salvation. We know that this like, is we're not drawing that conclusion here.
That's an important point.
And yeah. and I think that's like needs to be said. This yeah. isn't through a system of works, but it's motivated from the heart and love of God.
Yes.
It's the heart and love of God, right? And his angels and mm-hmm. now in us. But to acknowledge Christ before men.
Yeah.
Think about what heaven is like. Mm-hmm. Like the grandstands, the people looking on. The lost, the family members waiting for us, all of heaven rejoicing. And I love that. Like there is a snowball effect in that. We go from one person to the next, lifting up Christ. And ultimately, like we said last week, to, you know, become a Christian, our goal is to glorify God. We are working this out.
Yeah.
It's just happening. And it's cool, like for those first time people, or maybe people just working it in,
mm-hmm.
I would say to you, number one, fill yourself up with words, right? You yeah. got to have words, right? We can't evangelize without words, right? And number two, we can't evangelize without the worship or the act.
Yeah.
Right? Like, right. So there's the inner it's ministry, both. It's the closet ministry. Right?
Yeah.
And then like Jesus says in this same chapter, you know, the things I say to you in secret, say it in the light. And the things that you hear as a whisper, proclaim on the housetop, on the rooftops.
Yeah.
So we get those in secret, then we proclaim them. So, and then the next thing is spend time with people.
That's what I was going to say.
Who do this? You yep. mentioned Pastor David Moore, like, yeah. We all have people in our life. I don't know, in your church, you have someone
yeah.
who's currently or actively ministering.
They might not be the popular ones.
Right. Yeah. They're not the ones you want to hang out with.
How, yeah. They might not be your age. They might not be yeah. your demographic.
Might be older.
Yeah.
Like, and I think it will anoint your life and bless your life.
Absolutely.
Deliver you from your self life. Like yep. you'll come back. Think about this. How many times... We would, like early on, I think we're, I don't know when it was, but anyway, in Bible
Long time
school,
ago.
Like we would come back from a day or some time, I don't know, whenever it was,
yeah.
of evangelism and just sowing and just having fun with it and just being like, we never regret this.
Exactly.
Like, has there ever been a time when you shared
your faith
and said— You might
have dragged yourself there, but you're like rejoicing at the end,
you know,
every time, guaranteed.
We could mumble it.
Yeah.
You know, just like we could
yeah.
We could fail to answer the question well. We didn't quote the right verse.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Like it was almost like the heart was what counted.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit was there. He put us in that moment. Okay, I didn't say it so well. I think back and I could do better. Sure,
yeah.
you're right.
Yeah.
You will get better.
Yeah.
But know that we will never forget lifting up Christ. With our words and actions.
I think that when you just said sewing, we were just out having fun sewing. You just said that casually. but I love that because it is a casual part of our life in the
yes.
sense that we, especially like in missions, one of our verses that we always had in our minds was in Ecclesiastes 4:11. And it has to do with sowing. And it says that we should not withhold our hand from sowing in the evening and in the morning. And we should not observe the clouds because then we wouldn't sow.
Yes.
And I love the picture of sowing because, again, it takes you out of the picture.
Yes.
It's not you.
You're canceled.
Like, just get over yourself. I'm talking to myself. This is how you would need to speak with
I'm
my self-conscious, insecure. I'm talking to myself and saying, this isn't about you. You have precious seed. Mm-hmm. Like it says, I wanted to read this, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Verse 7, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us."
Wow.
the power of the gospel is in itself. It is not ours. It is like an opportunity to sow. Wow. And whether that seed is the one that sprouts and grows, is watered, lands on good soil, none of that is my work or my concern. Mm. That's the Spirit's work. And it's that is, again, very liberating, mm-hmm. that we do not have to put a lot on ourselves when it comes to this mandate. It is a mandate from Christ, but it doesn't mean that it's this crushing burden. The burden for the lost is light.
Yes.
Right? It is a light burden.
And this ultimately, as we close this first day of our topic about evangelism, let's just honestly say it from the bottom of our hearts, it's a lot of fun.
Yes.
It's joyful.
Yes.
We walked away going, wow, can you believe that God put these two things together?
Yeah.
You know, whether we were in a Chick-fil-A yesterday, remember? And I talked to those two ROTC young people, and they just said, I just went to church in Fort Knox, Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
And they said to themselves that we got to go find a church. One of them lives in Silver Spring. And we were like, he's like, how is this possible?
We have a church in Silver Spring.
We were like, we got one.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you are and what you do. What a joy it is.
It is.
Don't miss out an opportunity that God has invited us into.
Yeah.
Live and experience that joy. So.
And I would say one more thing, along with the joy thing, on the mission field, as a person who, unlike you, maybe doesn't have that, bulldog, just go for it, just start talking. I mean, I laugh about the way you can start conversations. You were saying, you're like, just ask him, what kind of dog do you have? And I'm like, okay, but how do I get from what kind of a dog do I have to
Jesus?
You're like, that's easy. Again, I have grown in this. I can say to those who are thinking this isn't something I'm capable of doing, I just want to encourage that you can. And I remember 15, 16, 20 years ago being that person who was terrified to give out even a single track, but showing up, knowing that it was the Spirit of God to just show up, to be available, to ask God to make my heart soft towards people. All of those things is the Spirit in me. And the insecurity and the fear is not what I want to serve, right? And in that, I have had the opportunity to witness people finding the Lord.
Yes.
And there is literally nothing better. Yeah. And we've done wonderful things. We've been to amazing places in the world. We have three beautiful children. I love good food. All of those things, nothing compares to seeing a person accept the love of God and the salvation, the saving work of Jesus for the first time. And I've gotten to do that. So if I can do it, literally anybody can, because I was that person in Bible school who was like, I've never led anybody to the Lord, and everybody else is on their way.
Yeah.
But I can say now, it's just been a joy to be a part of even the smallest things. But in doing those small things, you get to see great things. You see God work, and it strengthens your faith. It frees you up. It's the best. There really is nothing that compares on earth to that. And once you know that.
Yeah. Taste something and it's.
No turning back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, wow. Okay.
That's enough for today.
But thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to all the different platforms, YouTube, Apple, Google, Spotify. Share this with your friends. I hope this encouraged you today, and be sure to join us for our next show tomorrow. That's going to continue on this topic of evangelism. All right.
Thank you.